Skagway leaders move toward a 15-year waterfront lease, but there are still hurdles to cross. And so far, only a few people have declared their interest to run for office in Haines and Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Skagway leaders are moving ahead with a new 15-year Tidelands lease proposal, and they're hoping to get it to voters this October. At a public meeting Thursday, the Assembly put some tough questions to the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad president. The executive told them that the railroad is willing to compromise on some things, but it needs a 15-year lease agreement. The urgency driving this conversation comes from Skagway's need for a new floating dock. The dock would allow the cruise ship-reliant town to keep up with bigger boats arriving in 2019. White Pass Railroad leases most of the port. In order to cooperate on the floating dock, it wants a 15-year new lease that would pick up after the current one ends in 2023.
You know, the only agenda we have is toward a mutually beneficial conclusion.
White Pass President John Finlayson was at the Thursday meeting. Orion Hansen asked Finlayson if he would be willing to tie contamination cleanup in the ore basin to the current lease, meaning the cleanup would happen in the next 5 years. Finlayson said yes. He also said okay to the city capping its financial contribution to the cleanup at $1.5 million. But when Jay Burnham asked if White Pass would look at just the floating dock without the new lease, Finlayson said no.
Could we talk about just that floating component?
Jay, look, we've had this conversation several times.
We have.
We've put forward what we feel is a benefit to White Pass. We also feel strongly it's a benefit to the city. And those feelings have not changed.
That seemed to get through to the Assembly. They made some changes, but none to the 15-year term. Previously, the Assembly voted for the city to take over as cruise terminal operator during the new lease. Hansen moved to reverse that decision.
It is a non-starter for White Pass, so this is a concession.
On the motion for White Pass to continue as cruise terminal operator, the Assembly was split. Hansen, Tim Cochran, and Steve Burnham Jr. voted yes. Jay Burnham, Spencer Morgan, and Monica Carlson voted no. Mayor Mark Schaefer broke the tie in favor of the motion. Throughout weeks of discussion on this new lease, the Assembly has agonized over whether it's a good deal for Skagway. Hansen brought up one part he thinks is a major benefit. After the 15-year lease, the city will be able to take over the Broadway and ore docks without having to pay millions of dollars.
But what we really get here is a path to where we own our assets and our waterfront.
The Assembly also voted to add language giving the city authority to regularly inspect the leased area and to deny a proposed sale or transfer of the lease. The group also agreed to wording requiring White Pass to obtain a surety bond to hold the company accountable for contamination cleanup. The city negotiating team will take these changes to White Pass. Then the Assembly will continue the discussion at a special meeting August 9th. It's still not a given that the Assembly will agree on the 15-year lease. Jay Burnham and Monica Carlson have been especially skeptical.
And then I keep hearing everybody saying that it's a non-starter for White Pass. It's a non-starter for White Pass. Well, excuse my French, what's a non-starter for the city? We need to take a little more gumption and a little more effort and get what we want.
So there's the question of Assembly approval. Then there's the question of whether they'll be fast enough to put the lease question on this October's election ballot. The deadline is August 17th, though the clerk says she could maybe stretch that a little bit. And perhaps the biggest question is whether the lease will pass a public vote. Steve Burnham Jr. said he was having flashbacks to 2015, when voters rejected a 35-year Tidelands lease.
My concern is that our audience doesn't have 500 people in it every time we meet. And I'm concerned that are we getting the message out, or are we going to be perceived as ramming it down their throat?
But Hansen pointed out that this time around, most of the lease discussions are happening in public instead of behind closed doors. He said if people are not paying attention, they should be. Low sockeye numbers continued to disappoint area gill netters this past week, but fish and game biologist Mark Soggy predicts a change in fortune soon. I talked to Soggy about commercial and subsistence fishing updates and issues on the Chilkoot Weir. All right, so tell me how the most recent gill net opening went.
The catch was, sockeye wasn't that good. It was about 4,600 sockeye. The average is closer to 20,000, and so that puts us at a cumulative sockeye catch of about 20,000, and about a quarter of where we have been in the average. And so far, our sockeye harvest this year has not been very good, and a lot of that is because of two things: the weakness of the main stem sockeye, Chilkat sockeye, and then a surprising weakness in the Chilkoot Lake sockeye return as well. Chum salmon-wise, we caught another 46,000 or 41,000, which puts us up to, we're at 1.4 million. I said 1.5 last week, but I was overestimating then, so we're about 1.4, which is a nice high number. We're not a record, but pushing the record.
But it's the sockeye that the commercial fishermen are wanting to see right now, and they're not really seeing a lot?
Yeah, they have not, but there's some signs that... that we're going to be okay with the Chilkat sockeye. Not a whole lot of signs yet, but back to the seine harvest, they did catch a lot, not a lot, but they caught a relatively high percentage of sockeye the last time they did a test fishery. So that may indicate there's fish coming our way. I think the catch will be increasing this week as the run comes in for the Chilkat Lake. For the opening this week, I gave 2 days and moved the line on the Chilkat side. Moved the line up to Glacier Point, which opens up Twin Coves for a fishing area, which is, should be a better place for them to harvest fish. And also I gave 2 days in south of Bridget, which instead of 1 day last week. And that will also give more time, more space for them and more time in that space to catch sockeye. So if there's fish coming in, we'll see them in the harvest this week.
Did you already mention how the Chilkoot sockeye are looking? Is it still worrying?
Chilkoot sockeye had a surge in the last couple of days, and actually last week, and we're now at 25.5, I think, out there, plus whatever we escaped today. And it's still low, relatively low, but the projection with about 60% of the run-in should be, 40,000 total. But we've shut down, I've shut down a lot of the fishery for quite some time now all along the east shore, and so we've opened up a lot of area for the fish to swim through without me knowing how many there are and without anybody catching them. And so we don't really know what's coming. I'm hoping that it'll push at least that high. If it goes higher, then we'll think more about opening up on the Chilkoot side for some commercial fishing.
And I believe there were some changes to the subsistence fishery starting, was it July 31st or August 1st?
Yeah, as of August 1st, the river opened back up 7 days a week from 4 mile to 1 mile above the Wells Bridge. And then the Chilkat Inlet is open up, with all the way up. And Chilkat Inlet is open for subsistence fishing during the normal hours, normal days, which is Saturday through the close of the gillnet opening.
Anything else that you want to talk about?
I would like to talk just for a minute, if I could. Just we're having trouble with the public out at Chilkoot Weir, and it's getting to be quite extreme and dangerous for both fish and game personnel and for the public. The bears feed on pink salmon on the weir, and people want to take photographs of them. They want to see them, but they don't realize or don't take into account the fact that we have personnel on the weir and people standing on the road right at the weir where they're not supposed to stand. And our personnel out there counting fish make it so that the bears get stuck between those two places. It's very, very difficult on our personnel, and it's very dangerous for the public. And yet the public wants to see the bears. And so the only way we can keep them off is we chase them off the weir back up into the woods. And we can't do that if there's a crowd of people standing there. And so it makes our job almost impossible and very dangerous.
Conversations with Fish and Game's Mark Soggy are a regular feature on KHNS this summer. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.